The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. How many of you have read the picture book, Where the Wild Things Are? Okay, good. This is a great book that was written and illustrated by the famous children's author Maurice Sendak. In this tale, a rowdy young boy named Max gets into a lot of trouble with his parents and is sent to his room without supper. As Max fumes angrily in his room alone, he is transported into a wild jungle full of monsters called wild things. Max befriends them and even becomes their king, until at last he chooses to go home. It's a great book. Once in an interview, Maurice Sendak, the author of this book, told a story that I have always loved. He said, Once a little boy sent me a charming card with a little drawing on it. I loved it. I answer all my children's letters, sometimes very hastily, but this one I lingered over. I sent him a card and I drew a picture of a wild thing on it. I wrote, Dear Jim, I loved your card. Then I got a letter back from his mother, and she said, Jim loved your card so much that he ate it. That, to me, was one of the highest compliments I've ever received. He didn't care that it was an original Maurice Sendak drawing or anything. He saw it, he loved it, he ate it. Isn't that just the best thing you've ever heard? Nothing could have delighted Mr. Sendak more than that this young child chose to eat his drawing. I imagine that God must have felt the same delight when the prophet Jeremiah said, Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. Jeremiah was so overcome with love for the word of God that the only way he could express his love and gratitude and longing was to eat them, to take them into himself, to become one with them. Haven't you ever felt this way? Have you ever loved something or someone so much that you just wanted to eat it? I have two nieces. They're 2 and 4 years old. And when I see them, I'm so overwhelmed by their cuteness that I end up saying something strange, like, I could just eat you with a spoon. Thankfully, I've been able to resist this temptation thus far. Now, God's word isn't always cute, and I don't think that the pages of your Bible would be very tasty. The word of God is often intense, challenging, sometimes even frightening. But it is also, as we know, ineffably beautiful and true and good. What would it look like to be so in love with the gospel that we wanted to eat it? What would happen if we feasted on the word of God so that it lived in our cells, so that it poured out of our bodies and minds and hearts? We've all heard the old adage, you are what you eat. When we eat something, it becomes a part of us. It's woven into our cells. When something is eaten, it is transformed. A carrot is no longer just a carrot. It is now part of the skin on my hand that feels the touch of another's hand. It's part of my eye that sees the sun shining through the clouds. Every plant or animal that we eat gives its own life to ours. We take in amino acids and carbohydrates and turn them into laughter, speech, bike rides, works of art. Likewise, when we eat the word of God, it lives within us and is transformed into an outpouring of action. When the way of Jesus is our heart's desire and delight, we begin to look like what Paul is describing in our lesson from Romans. Let love be genuine. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Paul's directions in Romans may sound at first like an exhausting laundry list of good deeds. Serve others, be hospitable, outdo one another in showing honor. Who has the energy for all of that when I already feel like I'm at my limit just trying to get through the week and check even just a few things off of my never-ending to-do list? But the beautiful, logic-defying secret of the gospel is this. The more we give, the more we serve, the more we pour ourselves out, the more we have. It's counterintuitive, and it's not what this world teaches us, but it's true. We worship a God of abundance, a God who is infinite and limitless. And the Spirit of God shares that abundance with us. This, I think, is what Jesus is talking about when he says, those who lose their life for my sake will find it. I think I've experienced this most clearly when doing mission work. I know many of you have served and still serve, others in Honduras, or here in Seguin, building houses for Habitat, or at Seguin Youth Services, lots of ways. Last summer, I took a group from my former church to Costa Rica to serve with the Episcopal Diocese there. We were helping with the construction of a new church building and outreach center in downtown San Jose. Before we left for the trip, I was feeling exhausted. Mentally, emotionally, and physically. I was running on empty. And the thought of traveling to another country and doing all this manual labor in the heat and humidity was daunting. But guess what I discovered once I got there and I put my work boots on and I started chiseling and scraping and sweeping and lifting? I discovered that far from feeling more drained by this hard work, I was feeling more and more energized. I felt better than I had in weeks, even though my back hurt and my t-shirt was soaked with sweat. There is a joy that can only come from serving others, from putting aside our own interests for a while and throwing our whole selves into the work of loving others. This is what happens when we love the Word of God so much that we eat it, that we take it into ourselves. It is transformed in our bodies and in our hearts into acts of loving service, into genuine love, into a zealous energy and a joyful spirit. In the past 2 weeks, we've seen many examples of this kind of selfless service, as friends and strangers alike have gone out of their way to help those who have been impacted by the winds and waters of Hurricane Harvey. In the coming weeks and months, we here at St. Andrews will have plenty of opportunities to help our neighbors clean up, heal, and rebuild. So, start feasting on that word. Let prayer and scripture nourish your body and soul. Instead of scrolling through Facebook or watching the news while you drink your coffee in the morning, read a little bit of scripture. Come to our Wednesday night Bible study on the Gospel of John, or say evening prayer before bed to calm your mind, or jump in and just start serving somewhere. You are what you eat, so let God nourish you with good things. And remember that God loves you so much that he wants to eat you. Amen.